If you would open your Bibles and turn over to Colossians chapter 2, we'll continue one element of what we studied this morning. We'll continue it throughout this afternoon in a try to be shorter lesson. You know, as a preacher and younger preacher, sometimes I say I'm going to have a short lesson. And as y'all know, that doesn't work out too well sometimes. I do mean to, though. So I apologize for times I said that and it's not worked out. We're going to try to have a bit of a shorter lesson on these afternoons so that we can, because I know everybody's tired, more tired, and we'll try to make them shorter because I know how it is. Colossians chapter 2, though, verses 1 through 10 is the text that we're going to be focusing around, talking about steadfastness in Jesus Christ. Steadfastness in Jesus Christ. What Paul says here in the Holy Spirit's words to the Colossian brethren are very important to all of us as we consider our journey with Christ, as we consider our walk with God. And again, we read two verses out of the 10 that we're going to read here. But obviously, everyone here loves God. Everyone here wants to do what's right. Everybody's a Christian in this room. Everybody wants to get through this life and to the next. Everyone wants to cross through death out the other side, through Jesus Christ. Everyone wants eternal life. We find some interesting concepts and teachings in these sets of verses, helping us to do such. And so that's what Paul and God wants the Colossian brethren to know, is how to do such, how to be steadfast in doing such. And so the first thing we come to is in verses 1 through 3, Paul is conflicted for their steadfastness in Christ's sake. Now start there in verse 1 with me if you would. Colossians 2. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Of course, knowledge that is truly important. Wisdom that is truly important. We read here that Paul is conflicted for those here in Colossae and Laodicea, for example, who have not seen his face in the flesh and have not heard his literal mouth, as they may not be as taught or may not be as rooted. So that's what we're talking about this morning, that deep concern for the churches that Paul had as he lines out there in that Corinthian letter after talking about all the persecutions. He's just showing that here even more. He's concerned for the brethren and not being as rooted in Christ, not being as steadfast as they should be, not being as encouraged, and he wants them to further themselves and grow in Christ. He wants them to remain steadfast. How do you do that? You have to grow in the knowledge of God. You have to continue to try to get better. You have to try to further yourself, race forward all the time, as Paul constantly affirms throughout his epistles. So Paul knows that these brethren, they need encouragement. Likely the Holy Spirit is the one who told him that they need encouragement. It could be that messages are being transferred and they're asking for it, and other reasons that we could talk about contextually. However, Paul does know that they need encouragement just like any Christian. They need to be knit together in the love of Christ. They need encouragement. So first, number one, they need encouragement. Number two, they need to be knit together in love. And so they need to be unified in the love of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, they need to attain to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. So they need to study more. They need to know more words of God for their own faithfulness sake. For their own eternal sake, they need study. They need more knowledge of God. They need to hear it from even somebody's mouth to where they'll listen better. Perhaps, you know, Paul's own mouth. They need to understand these things further. And that's why Paul writes this Colossian letter as well, so that they'll have more encouragement. So he can talk about some concepts, such as Jesus even being the Creator. Paul really tries to help firm them up in the faith, firm them up in Christianity. If we think about it, the more one grows their mind in the knowledge of God, as the knowledge of God and the Word of God is the most powerful thing that is on this world presently, it's the only thing that is truly powerful in this world left. God doesn't do miracles in the way He did in times past. He doesn't do wonders. He doesn't set up a pillar of fire anymore. He doesn't speak from a mountain booming voice. He doesn't do the 10 plagues anymore. He doesn't, you know, kill somebody such as Ananias and Sapphira for lying. He doesn't do those things anymore. He lets people live their free will fully, to the fullest of their life. That's God's choice. That's His decision. But The more we grow ourselves toward Christ, the more closer to God we get, the more closer to eternal salvation we get. And again, what I was saying was, this is truly the power that will help us do that. The Word of God itself. People underestimate the Bible. People underestimate what this truly is. It's not just another book on your shelf. It's not truly just words on a page. I could literally hear this with somebody speaking it to me. I could hear this in a video. I could hear this by reading the words itself in the book. It doesn't matter. It's the words of God that's what matters. The knowledge of God. That's what's truly important. That's what's trying to be got at here. And so these Colossian brethren, they need to further themselves in that so that they can grow, so they can be steadfast in Christ, so they can continue to be encouraged. How do I do that? Again, got to grow, got to know more knowledge, got to study up, in Scripture. Got to make sure that we read the Bible, read the scrolls as they would have back then of the prophets, read the Old Testament, read the New Testament, hear it spoken. And that's really what Paul's conflicted about here, because he needs to have it more spoken to these Colossian brothers. Because back then, the Bible wasn't readily available. They had to speak the messages of God, really, in that time, before the Bible was written fully in the way it is today. So Paul is concerned. If we think about one of Peter's final statements to the recipient brethren of the epistle of 2 Peter, it was like one of Paul's statements here in Colossians, 2 Peter chapter 3, in verses 14 through 18. So put your marker there in Colossians. In 2 Peter 3, 14 through 18. What Peter's doing here is he's encouraging the brethren to grow in Scripture. And that even Paul, delivered by the Holy Spirit, he's warning of deceivers. He's warning of twisters that try to twist the Scriptures beforehand. And he's really ultimately just trying to tell us that knowing Scripture and knowledge of God will prepare one to be able to deflect the arrows of falsehood. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18 says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people will twist to their own destruction and do, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures." So, Peter's encouraging the brethren as well, bring about the same things that we can see here also in this Colossian letter, that we can see in many other letters that we read even this morning of Paul. And then Timothy, if we think about it, as a young preacher, was also encouraged by Paul to give himself and his attention to do what? To study the Word of God more. Why? That he may save himself and he may save those who hear him. As we read in 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. Please do read with me and turn there with me. 4, 12 through 16 says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come," verse 13, "give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be made evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So Paul encourages Timothy, and he understands that Timothy needs this encouragement. He needs to help him to be steadfast. He needs to help the churches to be steadfast as well. And that's what we all need. We all need encouragement in our journey with Christ, in our walk with God in Christ. We need help. I can't tell you how much it helps me whenever I get a call from another preacher in the brotherhood. I get a call from another preacher. I get a call from my dad, who's a preacher, my granddad, my brother, whoever it is, or my other teacher, Brent. If I ever got a call from them, if I ever do, I have. And they just encourage me. They encourage me and they tell me I'm doing a good work. And they tell me that to keep it up. And they know that it can be discouraging at times as a preacher, and it surely can. It surely can, and it surely is. It's a big work. It's the most important job on the face of this earth, besides being an elder. But being encouraged helps tremendously. It helps tremendously in helping my walk with Christ and being steadfast, because I also, as a soul, matter. All of us matter. All of us are equally important to God and to Christ's eyes. And encouragement is everything to us. It needs to happen on a consistent basis. Spouses need to encourage each other. Families need to encourage each other. Children, even their parents at times, if they're able. The parents, their children, need to encourage their children. The older need to encourage the younger need to encourage the older. That encouragement needs to be exchanged all the time in the church. All the time. So that we are all remaining steadfast and united, knit together in love, and always trying to further together, unified in the Scriptures. That's what we're getting at here. That's what Paul's getting at. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, if you turn there with me again, Colossians 2, 4 through 5, Paul tries to clarify for the Colossian brethren the things they need so that they'll not even be deceived. And so talking about being ready for deceivement here, Colossians 2, 4 through 5, says there, "Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order, and the steadfastness is our key word, of your faith in Jesus Christ." So these brethren, they need to be encouraged as Christians. They need to be unified in Christ. They need to study God's Word, to know the knowledge of God further, in order to what? In order to not be deceived. Because if I don't know what the doctrine of Jesus Christ is, if I don't know how He even wants me to live or conform to my mind to or my body to, then I'm going to be deceived quite easily, actually. I can be deceived at any time if I don't know the doctrine of Christ. If I don't know how God wants me to even treat, like we were talking about today, even in matters of withdrawal, if I don't know how to deal with that, if I don't read the Scriptures on that matter, if an elder doesn't read the Scriptures on that matter, well, then they'll not be a successful eldership. Why? Because the instruction's there. It's whether or not we follow it. And not just for the eldership. Members of the church, if they choose to, you know, act happy-goody time around somebody who's a fallen Christian, and they act like nothing's wrong, they don't try to, you know, try to bring them back to Christ, they don't try to, you know, not eat with them, act like everything's fine, that's what that means. That's what we read this morning. Then they're never going to think that they're wrong. They're never going to think that they're in the error of their ways. They're always going to live that way. They're always going to live falling away from Christ. That's why that instruction is there. But if we never practice it, and if we never practice after the first and second admonition, such as in Titus we read in chapter 3, nothing will ever happen. Nothing. Nothing proper. Nothing doctrinal, according to Christ. And so, you need to study up. We need to study up. Members of the church, elders, me as a preacher, we got to study up. We got to read our Bible. If we want to understand what the law of God says, we got to read our Bible. We got to understand what it says by reading it. It's not hard. We have to pick up this Bible and we have to read it. We just neglect to do it so often. Notice I said we. All of us are guilty. All of us. So these brethren need to be encouraged. Again, if you don't want to be deceived, you don't want to be led away by temptations of the world, we've got to study the Word of God more. We've got to encourage ourselves as Christians and encourage each other as Christians. We've got to be knit together. We've got to further ourselves in the understanding of Christ and the understanding of God and that knowledge. And now, that's exactly what Paul gets into in verses 8 through 10, is the false philosophies, the false theologies, the false theories that lead us back to temptations of the world and that lead us astray, that deceive us. In Colossians 2, 6 through 7, please read it with me. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So first, before we get into 8 through 10, let's talk about this a little bit first. So the brethren here in Colossae already received the doctrine of Christ, enough to be able to grow apparently. What did they need though? They needed more growth. They needed more steadfastness. They needed more encouragement. And that's what Paul is giving them. He's giving them encouragement. He's giving them more understanding. That's what he's trying to help with. He's trying to help with the mystery of God that's been revealed. He's trying to help. He's trying to help them understand. But these brethren have the ability to be able to grow also. But whether or not they grow, Paul leaves up to them, as it's left up to all of us with free will. As it's Whether or not we grow in the knowledge of God given to us by His Word is our choice ultimately. Whether or not we pick up this Bible and reread the doctrine. You want to know what's talked about concerning some problem that arises in the church. You want to know what's talked about concerning some problem in the world. Read your Bible. Read the Scriptures. 100% of the time, you can always find something that pertains to anything that happens in this life in this book here. 100% of the time. There are some things that are not clear-cut answers, but you can sure find some kind of a reference to it. Anything. This Bible covers it all. And sometimes we don't have the answers to such things, you know, as far as... You know, how exactly the intricacies of the spiritual body work, or how, you know, the anatomy of the spiritual body. No, those things aren't important. What we're talking about here, even more importantly, is doctrinal matters, matters of salvation. All those things are addressed. And matters of, you know, how we're supposed to live, matters of how people should live, practice things, what we should practice, all addressed. 100% of the time. 100% of the time. Yes, there are things we can't know in Scripture. That's not what I'm getting at. And I'm sure everybody understands that by now. As far as what we just talked about. Okay, so Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Before we read that, understanding to be rooted in Christ and remain steadfast, we must have continual growth as a child of God and Christian. Otherwise, we're more susceptible to temptation, more susceptible to deceivement, more susceptible to sin. Listening to the radio, watching the television, and getting tempted away from Christ. Getting tempted away from living the life that God wants us to live. That happens easy because we're not studied up, because we're not even prayed up. We don't pray properly. We don't study properly. We just, you know, go about our day-to-day life, and God's only on Sunday. God's only on perhaps even Wednesday. That's sad. That's not a way a Christian should live. If you look throughout the book of Acts, it's a book of action. And there's things going all the time, day after day. There's things happening with the church. People are busy. People are trying to study up. People are trying to pray to God all the time. People are trying to worship God, trying to do better. That's what we need to do in our Christian life. We need to grow. And if we do that ourselves, we can even bring about more people into this audience, into this room, into this assembly, by the example and by the teaching that we do in preaching the gospel of Christ and teaching it. We have many philosophies today that would lead one astray from God. Let's read that passage, verses 8 through 10, and talk about it a little bit, and we'll be finished. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. So man is pretty good at making some really amazing things. They can make some really amazing formulas, laws of physics. You can think about many things that man can create. Amazing things at times. Think about the Wright brothers who helped invent the plane. I think about other people who invented different things. You know, man is capable of doing great things. Making philosophers. Think about Socrates, Aristotle, different philosophers of the Greek time. You know, people like that who create these amazing philosophies. However, they're not the knowledge of God. That's the point being made here. They're not the knowledge of God. They're the mind of a finite man. They're a person looking at this world and trying to interpret from the eyes and the opinions and the bias of that person what this world is. No. We need to understand what this world is from the Creator who created the cosmos and who created this world Himself. We don't need to understand it through the eyes of a finite man who's knowledgeable in one set skill or in multiple set skills. None of us are infinite, such as God is. In knowledge, none of us know better. We need to try to understand and look for reliability whenever it comes to things like religion, comes to things like philosophy. And we find that with the Bible. We find that with God. Paul says here that if you believe those things, those philosophies, you let it lead you away from God. So, for example, secular humanism, evolution, you think about even the theory of relativity perhaps could lead one away from God. Perhaps, in a way. People are cheating you of your reward. People are cheating you of your life in Jesus Christ if you choose to believe in these things. Calvinism, you choose to believe in it, people are cheating you of your reward in Christ. Paul also says the philosophies of this world are according to finite and principles of man. What are principles of man often? Aren't they often selfish? Aren't they often for power and for greed and for gain, for money, for more accumulation into a bank account that nobody else ever sees? Oh yeah. That's the problem with a lot of philosophies, and most all of them of this world. They're selfish, and they come from self-centered bias. But only only survival of the fittest. Confusion it causes. That's why most of the Eastern religions are so confusing. Because it's all from bias and self-centeredness and imagination of a human mind, of a finite man. Paul says these things are not according to God, not according to Christ. Even if they claim to be, they're not. Paul testifies that only in Christ and the eyewitness gospel, the eyewitness testimonies that are given even by the apostles, is only in Christ is what's necessary for us as Christians for salvation. That's the fullness. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead's purpose, even bodily. And we can only be complete as human beings and as souls in Jesus Christ. Because He holds what? All power. He holds all authority over the world and over everything as given by the Father. As it said there also in Matthew 28 and verse 18, right next to the Great Commission. So, the final question. What would we rather believe? Would you rather believe in a finite man? Would you rather believe in being steadfast in a philosophy of some guy who imagined something or brought up some formula one time who's eventually going to die and his formula is going to die with him, probably? Or are you going to believe in the infinite God whose Bible has lasted and His words have lasted forever? So which one are we going to choose to believe? Are we going to be steadfast as Christians? Are we encouraged today? If you have need of encouragement, the church is here available for you. Let us pray with you. Let us take care of you. If you have a sin in your life, let us as well get rid of that today. Let nothing separate you and your God. Come to the front as we're about to stand and sing. If you're not a Christian, for those watching as well, believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you believe that, if you've heard the Word of God and you're developing faith in Jesus Christ, you believe Him, that He's the Son of God. You believe He's God. He's the Messiah. And you're willing to repent of your sins, to turn away from a life of sin, and confess that Jesus is indeed the Son of God before anyone, before men, before women, before anyone. And you're willing to be baptized, immersed into water for remission of your sins and to be added to the church. Then why don't you do that today? Why don't you take up that invitation? Why don't you allow yourself to have that eternal home in glory someday? Please don't pass up on that opportunity that Christ made available for you by dying on the cross and resurrecting. Remain faithful unto death, and you'll receive the crown of life. Endure through temptation, always. Be steadfast in Jesus Christ and in God. If you have any need, come to the front as we stand and sing to our God together.
Bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring come take communion? Yes, okay.
Be seated, please.
Dear Father, we again thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather around the table, taking this bread, Father, which represents your Son's body that was sacrificed on the cross for our sins. We ask you, Father, now, which will bless this bread.